Welcome to Fiercely Flipping 50 with Janelle J, the place where you'll learn thought and skill mastery at a whole new level. If you're ready to bring your midlife goal into epic existence with joy, fun, and ease, and become the woman who has the results you want, you're in the right place. Now, here's your host, certified life and health coach and NLP and law of success practitioner, Janelle J.
Hi, friends. I wanted to do a little intro before today's podcast. Today is kind of a relaunch of the podcast. We have a new intro and outro, and starting today, I'm adding in some interviews. Interviewing other amazing and inspirational women, and maybe a few men, who knows, has been something I've wanted to do for a long time, and it is happening. These interviews are with people that light me up, who I have learned from in some way, and who inspire me. And I want to spotlight them by sharing them with you here on the podcast so that you can also be inspired and learn and be lit up by them too. So let's jump in with today's podcast and my first spotlight interview. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Today, I want to spotlight an amazing woman, coach, and stylist, Judith Gatton, aka Miss J. And I'm really excited to have her on. I've worked with her personally in her Style Masterclass, and I know her firsthand how fantastic she really is. So this is going to be fun. And Judith, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. When you had proposed to have me on the podcast, I was like, oh my God, yes. Number one, I get to hang out with you for a little while, which I'm really excited about. But two, I'm really excited to talk to all your listeners. So just a little introduction. Like Janelle said, I am a style coach for women, and I help women dress and love the body they are in right now. No diets or extra Spanx required. So yeah, that's my jam.
Yes. So you have a really great story about your journey to becoming a style coach. And I'd love if you could share that, and also how the work that you do has helped you become the style coach that you are today.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I love that. And it's fun to tell my story. I think there's like little different iterations every time. But really, I, you know, originally wanted to be a fashion designer, then got chickened out and decided I'm going to become a lawyer because that's easier. And that's, you know, a great idea. And then I had a really difficult few cases. I had a client who mentioned life coaching, and I didn't Google it. I actually looked it up on Pinterest, and then I found, you know, the Life Coach School podcast. And then somewhere along the way, I was like on my own journey with losing weight, gaining weight, losing weight, gaining weight, and kind of realizing somewhere along the way, thanks to our mutual coach, Brooke Castillo, like, you can make up a job. Like, you can make something up and be like, oh, I do this now. This is my thing now. So I got lucky enough to, you know, I prayed about it. I was like, God, I would love to do something where I get to do style stuff and helping women and this life coach thing, but also talking about thoughts and feel like, I don't know what it's going to be, but just help. And this idea slowly developed. Like, I could coach women on their style, but I could really reach women who are, you know, badass, really like are entrepreneurial, doing their own thing, and use style as a way to like reaching what's going on with them, like in their hearts and minds, which is really very similar journey that I had. Like, I started in my underwear drawer. I started making myself over when I realized none of my clothes fit, and same process for my clients, really. It's actually kind of cool to see.
Yeah, it is. It's funny how we teach like what we've gone through, what we love, and, you know, the experience or the journey that we have too. And I love how you talk about it being like the prayer part, because like you asked, like you put it out there you didn't, like, you had no idea how it was all going to come together and how it was all going to happen, but you just put it out there and you had a belief that it was possible for yourself. And you, like, started becoming the person who was the style coach.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for your listeners too, like, whatever stage in life you're at, like, whatever age you're at, like, you can decide one day, like, if I were to gather all the things that I love most into one basket and created some sort of, like, brain idea baby from it, like, it's possible. And it's not like you have to undergo a crazy transformation first. You can put those things together first and then sort of transform yourself along the way and see what develops. Like, that's the beauty of it. It doesn't have to all be figured out up front.
Right. That's so true. And I love how you threw the age thing in there, because I know for me personally, like, I was in my 40s when I left my job, like, late 40s as a school superintendent. And there was all this judgment around, you know, I'm giving up this career and this pension and this benefits and this whole thing to step into this vision that I had for myself. And so there's really no, like, age has nothing to do with any of it. Yes. And it's so funny too that you bring that up, because that was really, like, when I worked with you, the age thing was so, like, that was a rule that I had in my head. So maybe, like, this is just a great time to talk about, like, some of those rules that we, or beliefs that we invent or have been put inside of our minds, that, like, these are the rules, like, no leather pants after a certain age.
Which would be so sad, because there's so many great pairs of leather pants out there dying to be worn, like, no matter what your age is, right? Like, I mean, the beauty of it, I think, is, like, and I think our time together, we talked a lot about, like, here are the rules that were handed to you, which is really just, like, somebody had a thought about something and was like, here's what you should do. Here's how it should be. Here's how you should dress. Like, you know, play clothes are for this time. Good clothes are for this time, right? Like, you know, after a certain, I love that you brought up the leather pants. I think it's so funny, right? Like, leather pants after a certain age, your hair, and I hear this a lot from women, like, your hair has to be a certain length at a certain age.
Yes.
You have to cover your arms by this age. And it's like, what on earth, right? But, like, we all sort of reinforce these by telling them to each other and, like, acting them out over and over again. So the next generation of women, they're like, oh yeah, well, my mom, my aunt, my grandma told me, so therefore it must be true. And I think sort of, like, the work we've done together and, like, the, like, ripple effect of that and the little, like, rebellious, like, revolution we're starting is, like, you know, you can wear the leather pants. Your age is so independent of that. Like, it doesn't even matter. Like, right. You can bare your arms or your sexy ass shoulders, or, like, wear whatever you want, the bold lip, the high heel, your hair can be whatever length you choose. Like, all of those things, we get to just dismantle them and do what we want from here on out. But it's scary to be the first one to sort of step out on the ledge. And, like, if you're in your friend group or in your community. So I think both Janelle and I recognize that it's, like, not for the faint of heart, but we're cheering you on because she and I both have gone through this process in some form or fashion, which is, like, we're with you. You decided to take up the call. Like, we're so with you.
Absolutely. Totally. So tell me what your definition of style is.
Yeah. To me, style is a feeling that you create with your thoughts. So it's definitely, it's not a checklist. It's not this prescription of, like, when you've purchased these items, you are now therefore stylish, or only at a certain age, when you are a certain weight, size, or shape, you are now stylish. Like, all of those are just facts in the world. Whatever your weight, size, shape, or age happens to be, those are just facts in the world. And then you have a thought. And then you get to decide what you think about that, and you get to decide what feelings you want to create for yourself. So for me, when we put style in, like, the feeling part of the think, feel, and do cycle, and we get to create style whenever we want based on what we think about ourselves. It's like the thoughts and feelings you have about yourself outwardly reflected, like, those are the clothes you put on.
Yes.
it starts with like, how are you feeling when you put those clothes on? And I think that's where style lives, which is kind of cool because then we have a lot more flexibility to create it independent of facts or circumstances like age and weight and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that definition because, you know, I teach, you teach, all about like what I really work with my people on is thinking their way into the results they want, thinking and feeling their way into the results they want. Yes. And that definition of style is so in alignment with that. And I think that it's also like there's this piece of becoming that person, like becoming that person that you envision yourself to be when you have the new job or get in the right relationship or the relationship you want to be in or change careers or lose the weight. It's like you have this vision, this image of you in your mind. And like style and this definition are all about that becoming. It's all part of the same thing that's going to help you get there.
Oh, I love the becoming part. Oh, I love that you said that, right? Like, because with your clients, like you, like they have a goal, they have a result they want, but like, you know, the powerful part is like becoming the woman who achieves a goal, like becoming the person who achieves a goal. And I think, you know, in terms of style, there's this overemphasis on like the outfit, the clothes, and those are fun and those are nice. And like, I love playing dress up with my clients and like, try this on, move this, try that, put that necklace, where's the shoes, right? Like, I love that part. But like, that part gets to be so powerful when they've become the woman who feels a certain way, who thinks a certain like set of thoughts. Like, when they actually become that woman, the clothing is just like the fun icing on the cake part. It's not the result in itself, which I love that you said the becoming is so, so important. I think it gets left out sometimes when people talk about makeovers or goal setting or transformations, like that's where it's at. It's the becoming. Yeah. So good. So good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, just keeping that, like you talked about before, like there's the thoughts and the feelings of it, of who you are in the certain outfit that you visualize yourself to be in. Like you don't have to wait to have the result. Like it starts right now, today, like in how you think about it and how you feel about it and what you're choosing for yourself. So tell me more about how you help women to achieve their style, achieve their sense of style.
Well, as you all know, because you went through the very torturous taking pictures of yourself every day. you know, we call that Awareness Week and Style Masterclass, but really, and I think you can speak to this too a little bit, is like Awareness Week is not just like, I'm going to snap a picture of myself and send it to my coach because she told me to, but like you get to see like yourself. You regain a relationship with yourself. You start paying attention to yourself again. And I think that's the first step on any makeover journey, any goal setting you want to have. It's like, well, where are you currently? What have you currently been up to? What's not working for you? What's not serving you? Like, that's always step number one. And I think, I mean, I tease everyone about Awareness Week and taking pictures of themselves. I don't think it's that bad, right? It wasn't that bad.
It was fantastic.
You know, the second step is once we figure out like what's not working, like where you're at, where's your baseline, what are the thoughts you're thinking about yourself, how have you been dressing, then the beautiful next part is like we get to design what it is you do want, which is, you know, where we come up with a personal style statement and where we define what your style is going to look like and if your clothing currently matches that vision, that personal style statement, which we use in like a very big picture way. Like this is the vision you're creating for yourself. And then the third step, which is this, you know, I think really, again, very similar to any makeover process you're undergoing, is learning to create that and repeat it. Like learning how to replicate those results. For us, you know, we do how to create multiple outfits from a small amount of clothing. Like how to play with putting together outfits and a wardrobe that you love and going in and being excited to like pull items for a photo shoot or whatever you have coming up and like feeling good about it. So there's like the three steps, like what's about working, designing what you want, and then going after it and learning how to replicate the results for yourself. So that's sort of the framework of Style Masterclass. I don't know if you could speak to any of those and like what your experience was like, because I think it'd be fun for your listeners to know if you're willing to share what you underwent. Absolutely. And what your style statement was.
Yeah. My style statement, I don't have at my fingertips, but, and maybe you can talk a little bit more about exactly what a style statement is before I say what mine was.
So a style statement is kind of like, you know, a lot of times we'll take these quizzes online and it's like, you're bohemian, you're classic. Like our style statements are a little more fluid. They're like a bigger vision of like, how do you want to be? How do you want to show up in the world? So they're aspirational in the sense that like, you may not quite totally embody it yet or like show up that way every day. So it is aspirational, but it's also inspirational because it's not too far out of reach that like it actually inspires you to take action. It inspires you to show up a little differently. So for some women, it's like feminine and fierce. For some ladies, you know, polished and playful. Depends on who you are, like what those, how those words resonate with you. I have one client who she decided hers was ready and on point. So it's not like normal style words, but it was like an attitude she wanted to have when she got ready in the morning, like ready and on point. Like it was like a little mantra to her, and it's become super powerful because now she applies it to her business, to her finances, and different areas of her life. So we use the style statement as just like kind of a vision, a bigger vision, aspirational and inspirational to help you take action, but also like help you reach and stretch just a little bit further out of your comfort zone. And yes, it is a way of dressing when we apply it that way. So it's kind of cool.
It's so cool because like you said, it takes away like what I thought it was is it, style was before you showed up in my life was just like, I pick a style, like classic or vintage or bohemian or like, what do I like the best? And I like parts of this and parts of that. And then I'd put a garment on and it wouldn't feel right on me. And so the style statement really takes that out of it. And it lets you tap into how you want to feel as you're becoming, as you're stepping into this person that you already are. You just haven't totally shown up as her yet.
Yes, exactly. Oh my God. So good.
Yeah. And so mine was, and I can't remember the whole thing, but I know that it was fierce, fun, and feminine. Fierce, fun, feminine was the component of mine. And the fierce, I was so wavery on for a while. And you helped me see that like fierce doesn't have to be like something attacking something. It's like this quiet, calm fierceness in within you. And I really felt that as well as the fun and the feminine part too. So yeah, that was part of mine. And then it became, so I'm stepping into this, these feelings as I put my garments on. Yeah. Do I get that feeling within myself? And what are my thoughts about it? Like, because, okay, then we have the judgment, right? Like, oh my gosh, I look too, maybe my stomach hangs out here, my butt looks too big, or all of those things. So speak to that, because I think that in addition to the beliefs that were programmed within us, as far as what the rules of the game are, there's also this part of, you know, maybe we're not real proud of our bodies right now, or we feel awkward or don't feel great in them. And it's, for me, I know, and I've heard other people say this too, it's like paying attention to style almost makes it like we don't want to do that because then it draws attention to the parts of us that we don't like that we see through our eyes. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, and it gets all tangled up, right? Because like, and I think with any, like we aspire to look a certain way or feel a certain way. And then in comes the default programming, right? Or like the record that we've had playing for a really long time. So they sort of butt up against each other. It's like, we're trying to play this like great new song that we've created and we love it against this like discordant noise that we've had on a record for a really long time. But our brain is used to that discordant noise. It's not used to this new record that we have created that we're playing and we're really trying desperately to like get used to. So it's going to just sound like a lot of noise and a little confusion. And I think where people get stuck or where sort of they fall off or they, you know, don't continue with the work is they're not expecting it to feel so uncomfortable. So they kind of give up. It's like, oh, something's gone wrong here because I don't feel great all the time. And I don't suddenly love every part of my body. Like, oh man, I still have work to do. And they think something has gone wrong, but it's like, no, like let's expect that. Let's expect that our brain is going to be like, excuse me, we've been hating ourselves for a really long time. We'd like to continue. And we're like, no, not today, brain. Right? Like we have to start like getting used to answering back that little voice that comes up as opposed to just like always agreeing with it. Mm-hmm. Getting used to being like, actually, no, like you're seeing my imprint of my belly against fabric. No one actually can see my belly. You need to calm down. It's like, oh, but you know, what are people going to think? I don't know. They're probably not even going to share it with me because most people don't care what I'm wearing. Like normally we're just like, oh yeah, this outfit is dumb and my belly is showing. Like we never answer it back. And part of the process, which is uncomfortable, is like answering back that record that you've had playing for a long time and responding to it and refusing to just let it run like amok without being checked. We got to check that. Bring it back to like, not today, brain. Thank you so much.
And it's so much like loving yourself, like being proud of who you are as a human and just loving yourself. And I know for me, like I always had this thought of, oh, this is good enough. This is just good enough. And then when I would say myself that to myself and dress myself with that thought and feeling in my head, then I showed up just good enough. Like, and you know, when I brought in the fierce, fabulous, or fierce feminine fun, then it was like this whole new bar, this whole new level for me of being more of the person that I wanted to show up as and not just good enough. So,
yeah. And I think just, it's funny enough, like, I think just good enough, like, oh, this will work. This is okay. Like that meh feeling, like that no longer became good enough for you. But you had to become aware that you were even thinking that, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think like once you became aware that you were thinking that, you're like, I don't want to think that. I want more than good enough. Like this is not working for me, right? Like
exactly.
Like you pause long enough to hear that voice in your head to be like, oh, that's what's been happening.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. And it's very like it was so cool to see that transformation in you. Like I feel really honored that I got to like witness that part of your journey, definitely.
Yeah. Well, it was quite a journey. And the other part that the other part of your program that, I mean, I love the whole thing, but that was really eye-opening to me is that we started with like our undergarments and cleaning things out. And like, I've always felt like I'm pretty good at getting rid of stuff, but man alive, when when you said, you know, if it doesn't meet this criteria, if it's down here at janky, then it goes, and helping me figure out what janky and good was, because in my mind, janky was just good. Well, this is okay. Nobody's going to see my underwear. But like, I had so much space in my drawers, in my closet. I'm like, I didn't even realize what I was tolerating in my clothing. And, you know, the things that we tolerate anywhere in our life show up somewhere else.
Oh yes. So good. Yeah.
And so I just like let myself turn loose of it. I just am like, nope, this favorite pair of white pants maybe has this little spot on it, but they're going because I'm not the woman who tolerates wearing stained clothes anymore. So
I love that you use the word tolerate, because I think this shows up like for your people too, like, like in the goal setting or like any result they want to create, like somewhere along the way, they've agreed to tolerate some level of BS.
Right.
And they may not even be aware of it.
Right.
Like hitting the snooze button repeatedly. Like they're tolerating being exhausted, staying up too late. They're tolerating being exhausted. Like, you know, giving up partway through a goal. Mm-hmm. Like they're tolerating like having your dream on hold constantly. Like they're tolerating certain things. And you could get to a point, and I wish this on everyone, even though it's very uncomfortable, but like you stop tolerating, like things get so intolerable that you're like, I refuse. Like I make a stand, here's my line. I will no longer tolerate. And I use the word janky, which is like anything that doesn't serve you anymore. Like in terms of clothes, yes, holes, stains, elastic shot, like anything like that, that is janky. It's time to get rid of it. But like in terms of life stuff, like any relationship, you just feel terrible when you're communicating with this person. Like any, you know, person you follow on social media that you feel horrible following them, like that's janky. We don't need that. Any habits that you know are just not good for your long-term goal planning and goal setting, like that's janky. Time to let that go.
Yeah. And I love that word janky. I have used it so much since we work together. I'm like, that's janky.
I love that.
Yeah. It's so fun. So another obstacle that we're part of my thoughts, and I know that they come up for other people, is just like the money piece. Like, this is good enough. I don't want to spend money on new underwear that nobody's going to see, or new clothes, or I totally had the mindset that there was never a bra out there that was ever going to fit me correctly, because they're just, I've tried too many. And so I'm not going to waste my money on buying new stuff. And can you talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, the money's, I think this is just the thing that gets in people's way, because I think it's like the socially acceptable excuse for bowing out of something.
Right.
We're all accustomed to be like, oh, really broke right now. And people are like, oh yeah, no, never mind. It's okay. Right. Like, I just don't have it. And people are like, oh yeah, I respect that. Like, we never question each other on like, okay, but I know you bought some shenanigans last week. So what is happening? Right. You had money for shenanigans, but not investing in yourself or your future. So I think the beautiful thing about coaching and like whatever kind of coaching, so like for you, like goal setting and helping people with the results, their businesses or their lives, or like me with their wardrobes, is you actually end up spending less money when you have someone helping you and guiding you in the process. So yeah, there's an initial investment up front, but you're actually going to save time and money in the long run, because you're going to get to the result you want so much faster with less like heartache and money spent than if you were trying to DIY something. Because I think all of us can attest to like those moments where like, I'm going to do a makeover, I'm going to do this shopping haul, and we buy all this makeup and we buy all this shit. Or if you're like into self-help, like you buy a ton of self-help books and all the planners. Who can attest to buying 5 million different kinds of planners?
For sure.
Guilty, right? Like we spend all this money because we're like, this is going to be the thing. But we never address the internal component, which is where coach comes in, right? Like right. I'm sure you see this with your clients. Like they've spun out. They bought all these things they never followed through on. And then you enter the picture and you're like, no, let me guide you.
Right.
Here's the result. Here's how we're going to do this. And we save them so much time and money. And I think really so much heartache.
Mm-hmm.
That if we could just really get everyone on board that this is like the best thing ever, and really the return on investment in the long term is so priceless, I feel like everyone would sign up for coaching all the time.
It's totally priceless, because it's, you know, I always like the analogy of we can't see in our own box.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't find the light switch to turn it on and make it lighter a lot of times. And all of this subconscious thinking we've lived with forever, that is just part of who we are and isn't bad or wrong, but we're just going to be continuing to stay in this box unless somebody can help us flip the light switch on and
I love that.
See those parts of us, or parts of our lives, the thinking that we've been carrying on for such a long time about what's possible for us, and just really shine the light on. So yeah, coaching does that for sure. And I think that the becoming part is still part of that too.
I think too, sometimes we have to borrow like our coach's belief in us because we may come to coaching with like a really low, like belief in ourselves and our ability to execute because we've tried all the things before and maybe have failed or didn't go to plan. And our coach comes in and they have all this belief in our like ability to become this other person. And I love that you said like turning the light switch on. Like, I think, yeah, we're little torch bearers. We're like, okay, well, you maybe not have a flashlight, but I do. Like, I can shine a light until we can find your light switch and turn it on. Like, you can borrow mine. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I thought it's like, that's where my brain went anyway. That's a beautiful, beautiful way of thinking about it.
Yeah, I think so too. And you have helped turn my switch on brighter. So I am just so grateful to have worked with you. And I want to say that a lot of people think that style is not a priority, or like if they think of it as a luxury. Like, I guess that's how I used to think of it, is like style is just a luxury. And it's like, I have more important things that I need to focus on right now than my style. What do you say to that?
I get that a lot. I get that I've heard all sorts of things. Like, it's silly, not a priority, which makes sense to me for a lot of women in particular, why they would think that. Because I think for a lot of us, we're trained that we have to sort of earn luxury items. We have to earn new clothes as like having done well in school. We get to earn beauty items for having completed some arduous task. So we're sort of trained early on to have this idea that like, did you earn it? If not, it's a luxury. It's this like foo-foo, poo-poo thing. But I mean, really at the end of the day, no one imagines their future self who have it like achieved these big giant goals and dreams dressed, you know, in their holy sweatpants. No one envisions that.
Exactly. Yeah. Start stepping into the person that you want to become.
Heck yeah. Like, no one's like, oh, when I meet this huge goal, whether it's career goal or, you know, whatever your goal is, like business goal, weight goal, whatever. No one's like, oh yes. And then I wore my bra that had the underwire poking me in the face. That's the bra I wore to get my award. No one imagines that, right?
Exactly.
Like, getting dressed is something you're going to have to do every single day, unless you live in a nudist colony. Like, for the most part, most humans are going to have to get dressed every day. And people think it's a lot of effort to like get dressed well, but really it's the same amount of effort. Like, your holy stained t-shirt and your like holy sweatpants. So they're two items. It's the same amount of items as like a pair of trousers and a blouse. It's literally the same math, the same amount of effort. All of what's happening is just a bunch of thought drama, which is worth looking into, because you can't afford not to address whatever janky thinking you have. Because like you said, right? If it's showing up in your underwear drawer, likely it's showing up somewhere else in your life. So you almost can't afford to ignore this, because it's a great and very easy way of finding out what's going on with you and then applying it elsewhere. So I'll get off my soapbox. That's my pitch.
No, that's perfect. Definitely needs to be said. What about, like, I've had women say when I was doing this program with you, it's like, well, I wear a uniform all day, so it doesn't really, style doesn't apply in my life. Like, and specifically somebody, this person was in the medical field. And so like the scrubs.
But yeah. And I've coached a lot of doctors. So hello, Dr. Peeps, love you so much. it's not true, because first of all, even the quality of scrubs varies. Right. So if you've been tolerating janky, like, what are the conditions of your scrubs? If your scrubs are excellent and your at-home attire is terrible, what's going on at home that you're showing up that way at home, but not at work. Like that tells us something about you.
Oh, that's so good.
Like if you're so committed to this like uniform that's put together for work, but the second you walk in your door at home, you're like flinging your bra across the room because it's so uncomfortable and you can't wait to get into your jammies. What's going on there? Like what happened when you walked in that door? What went through your mind? How are you feeling? Because how you're dressing to your at-home world tells us a lot about what's going on. So I love a great uniform. I love that my clients sometimes create uniforms for themselves. I think it's wonderful. If you're into it, if you like it, I love it. Yeah. However, we want that to be how you show up everywhere, not just when other people happen to be watching. Because ultimately, this is about your relationship with yourself. So if your outward facing is very put together and polished, but inwardly, when you're alone at night, just you and you, and everything's fucking jank. Sorry, I didn't mean to curse. And everything's janky. Like what's going on there with your relationship with yourself? Like that's such an important thing to look at for any of my ladies who are kind of like, oh, it doesn't matter because I wear a uniform. Well, no, it really does matter because when you go home, how are you showing up? Let's talk about that part. So yeah. Good. I love that they like that question came up because I think it comes up fairly often. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And then if women want to just get started with their personal style and figuring out their personal style, what are some tips that you have for them? I know, first of all, you have a freebie on your website and that it's a great way to start.
Yeah. I mean, I think the free style class I have on my website is all about BS fashion rules, which I think is a great place to start to examine, like in terms of thought work, you know, to examine what BS fashion rules have you adopted hook, line, and sinker, and you just don't want to believe are true anymore. You don't want to adopt them anymore. You want to get free. You want to get free. Definitely that is a great resource. And you just go to my website and then /style course, or just click on the first button and it'll direct you there. But in terms of like practical stuff, I definitely think like where I start everyone's your underwear drawer. Like anything that has holes, stains, rips, tears, bunches at the crotch, the elastic is shot. Like just that little act. Like here's the thing, y'all. No one will know that you threw out the janky undies. Like this is literally just for you. Just yeah. For you. Unless you're showing them off to a partner and they might get an ancillary benefit of, you know, seeing you in non-janky undies.
But that's really, okay like, too.
Right. That's okay too. Like this is just for you. So if we can start with like a small tiny exercise in your underwear drawer where just you notice what's janky and you decide to eliminate it, then you could start to look at the other areas of your life. But the best place to start and the most practical place to start, your underwear drawer, for sure.
Awesome. It's so funny. Even like I said, that had such an impact on me, just the clean out. Like I've even been doing it since. I open my linen closet and I'm like, these sheets are janky and these towels are janky. Going. I mean, I can buy a $2 nice washcloth for gosh sake. So, yes, that's so like it just carries out into so many other areas of your life.
It's contagious. Like once you get on that like no more janky train, you can't stop it. It like has a life of its own.
Yes, because it feels so good to release what you've been tolerating.
Yes. Yes. So yeah. Good. Exactly.
So why do women come to you?
Oh, the three top reasons I hear is clothes don't fit. I have nothing to wear, even though they have a closets full of clothes. I don't even know where to start. Like I get that a lot. I want to take care of this fashion thing. I've tried all these subscription boxes. You know, I've tried, you know, the quizzes, nothing worked. I don't even know where to start. And most of the time I get women who are very frustrated and feeling very lost, or they're very, very smart. And this was never emphasized when they were growing up. So it's like they didn't have some sort of prepubescent style education about beauty or fashion or clothes or style. Like they skipped that part and went straight to college. So they're getting what, you know, would be like a prepubescent, like, here's how you do your makeup, here's how you do your hair, talk like a little later in life, but it's never too late. So it's sort of like common things that I see when my ladies come to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, it was like, I didn't even know there was such thing as a style coach out there. And thank goodness I found the best one. But I just had like what I was wearing was so reflective of who I was showing up as. And that just was not in alignment with the person that I wanted to become. And I had this vision of how she dressed, kind of. And it was more of the feeling that I knew she had in what she was wearing than what I could actually see her wearing.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
And I wanted to have that now. Like, I knew that it was a step in me becoming that next version of me that I wanted to become. And so where you pull in the thoughts and the emotions and tie it all together with the style, it just makes it so powerful. It's not just shopping. It's like, there's this whole system to it that is plays so much on the inside of who you are and how you care for yourself and who you show up as. So when they work with you, what is your commitment to them?
Oh, I love that question. It's such a good question. My commitment to them is like, I'm here. Like, use me as a resource. And you've probably heard me say that to you a few times through our coaching. Like, use me as a resource. I'm all in on your transformation. Like, I'm 100% committed to you walking into your closet and having like a sense of freshness, sigh of relief that everything in there is going to fit you. You can mix and match it. You like to wear it. But then also, like, when you put it on, there's this sense of like grounded well-being. Like, you know who you are. You know how you want to show up today. And you look in the mirror and the woman staring back at you, like, you're so familiar with her. You have such a relationship with her that you're like, all right, let's go conquer. Let's go slay. Like, we are ready. Like, game face on, armor on, let's go do this, right? Like, I want every woman to have that like magical moment, sense of like assuredness and like peace in her own body. Mm-hmm. So I'm all in, you know, and I, again, this works kind of not for the faint of heart. Like, it's fun. It's not for the faint of heart. Like, my commitment is like, let's get you that magic moment. Let's do this. Like, you're all in, I'm all in, and I'm here. Yeah. So yeah, I love it. I love what I do, if you can't tell.
Yeah, no, it definitely shows, and I can feel it clear over here too, how passionate you are about that. And, you know, you asked me at the beginning how the taking pictures of myself and sending to you every day was. And, you know, that really gave me a reflection on what I was thinking about myself and how I looked. And so just, again, it's not just about the clothes. It's a whole package deal. Like, it's what you're wearing and how you're thinking and how you're feeling about yourself.
So. You'll never be the same. That's for damn sure.
No. And it, you know, you're so like, Judith is such an amazing coach. Like, when I would share the thoughts I had about myself in this outfit or what this outfit looked like she really helped me see more than just what was being reflected to me in the mirror and how those thoughts that I was having were really impacting how I showed up. So, you know, it's just so much more than you think it's going to be. And it's one of my favorite things that I've ever done for myself.
Oh, I love to hear that. And I'm going to brag on you as your coach for a second, because here's the beautiful thing. And I think even your, you know, listeners who are listening, who, you know, may coach with you in the future, like, what like was such a joy to be your coach was that you showed up and you did the work. Mm-hmm. Like, if I, as like, you know, do some self-coaching on that, think about that, you actually would. If I'm like, hey, hit me up in Slack if you have any questions, if anything comes up, you actually would. If I was like, clean out your closet, you actually did it. Like, you showed up for yourself, and you're the one who created the transformation. Like, you're the hero of the story. I'm the guide in it, but you're the hero at the end of the day. So like, I'm honored to have been your guide, but mama, you did the work. Like, you did the transformation. You got your transformation. You stuck it out. And it was such a pleasure to coach you and see you show up every week, even when you were uncomfortable, even when things had not necessarily gone perfectly to plan all the time, because life happened. Like, you kept showing up. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, I applaud you.
Peace is so, so important. And I love you too. And you gave me such a safe place to be able to do that. Like, I never felt like I could put my own judgment of myself out there. And there was never, like, you just came wholeheartedly with that love back to me, to reflect it, as you said, back to me. So if people want to work with you, and people, you do want to work with her, how can they find you?
Yeah. Easiest way. If you are on Instagram, you can just follow me on Instagram. Just go to JUDITHGATON. If you're not a fan of the grams, you can just go to my website and sort of enter my world that way, judithgatton.com, and click on the first button you see and welcome, welcome, welcome home.
Yeah. And she has a great podcast. Tell me the title again.
Yes. Yeah, Style Masterclass Podcast. And that's, you can find that on iTunes, Spotify, all the places.
Yeah. And she's an author too. So Google her name in Amazon. She's got a great book out too. So
yes. Google my name in Amazon. The title of the book, if you Google it, don't Google it.
Yeah, you can say the title. Totally. The title. I love it.
The title is How to Be a Fucking Lady, but don't Google fucking lady. I'm just going to warn you. It's weird.
That probably brings up a few interests.
Yeah, we won't go there. But yes, if you just put Judith Gatton into Amazon, my book will pop up. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been super fun having you today. And thanks for being my very first guest that I've had and letting me shine the spotlight on you. I've loved it.
Thank you. I had so much fun.
Me too. All right, everybody. Till next week. Have a good one.
Thanks for tuning in. If you're ready to take a deep dive into bringing your midlife goal into epic existence and become the woman who has the results you want in your life, body, and business, book a free mini session. You'll get some great coaching. And if you're ready, you can learn more about working with Janelle one-to-one and her Thinking Into Your Results program. Go to www.janellej.com. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, share, and leave a review.